Encounter number one, before the fall. What better place to begin than in the beginning? What was it like to have fellowship with God before the fall? It's almost impossible to imagine. I know we're destined to need to confess and repent virtually every time we come before God because we fall so strongly on His grace to make us worthy even to be in the same room with the Almighty Holy One. But there was a time, there was a day, maybe a year or longer, in which there was nothing but uninterrupted fellowship between God and the ones who were made in His image. I love to meditate on this moment, however fragile it may have been. That moment in time when the relationship between God and those who were made in His image was innocent. What was it like to walk with God in the cool of the evening after enjoying a pleasant day of perfect weather, tending the garden, naming the animals, and living in paradise? This was not paradise lost or even paradise regained. It was simply paradise. No need for confession or repentance, no excuses or shifting blame, no need to try to spin a story with the Almighty, only innocence and fellowship, uninterrupted love and adoration, unhesitant obedience to carrying out the will of the Creator. In some ways, their relationship may have been like that of a parent with an infant or a grandparent with that perfect boy who can do no wrong. But even all of these pale in comparison to the actual relationship between Creator and created, as the Creator sings over His beloved and His beloved sings along. Maybe before the fall, their relationship was similar to the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. The Word was with God. He came from the Father. He is His Father, and His Father is in Him. He heard from God early in the morning and on the mountaintop and in the garden on the Mount of Olives. The Father who sent Him into the world was still with Him, and He was abiding in His Father, saying or doing nothing without the Father's direction. He said what He heard. He did nothing on His own. What's more, He was always pleasing to the Father, and His Father took delight in Him. Such as at His baptism when the Father introduced Him as His only beloved Son in whom He was well pleased. What would that be like to have no need for repentance, to know and feel the Father's pleasure? Whatever it is like should be our experience after confession and repentance have taken place every time. No need to keep bringing up the same old sins, right? What especially blows me away is that the entire universe, all of creation, seems to be there for the purpose of being subdued by mankind. Think about it. The same relationship that the Creator has with the universe is the relationship that mankind has with the earth. Creator God has authority over creation. He rules over it all, including mankind. And He uses the same terminology to tell Adam what his role is to be over the earth. Rule over it. Name the animals. Work the ground. And then fill it and subdue it. By extension, the entirety of creation, according to the book of Genesis, seems to be to provide an ideal home for man, which means it's all a gift given to the crown of His creation, the image of God in our image, He said. Imago Dei, made with intelligence enough to have a soul, a conscience, imagination, and to learn cause and effect. It says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." The worship that is happening among sinless angels in heaven who sing worthy and holy and blessing is what we were designed to be a part of. Can we, at least in our imaginations, go back to Eden and forward to the New Jerusalem and know again what it means to be one with the Father? So, if you've ever found yourself wondering things like, what is God's intended will for my life? Or how does God feel about me really? Or isn't Christianity an invention of people trying to placate an angry God? Then take encouragement from this, my friend. God's intention for us all is fellowship. It's about relationship. God has always intended for you and me to be His people and for Him to be our God. Sin changed the plan. We are no longer on plan A. Had to switch to plan B. More about that soon. But know that the ultimate plan has been to have what you might say we had once upon a time. In fact, dig this. This is what Genesis 1 says. And God blessed them. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. Man was made on the sixth day, which means that the first thing he experienced was a Sabbath with his God. This is what we were made for. For your encounter, I would like for you to take 30 minutes or more to do this exercise. Start with a slow reading of Psalm 139. Go ahead and include those awkward last five verses to be honest about it all with God. Now, spend the rest of your time experiencing a walk with God, with nothing between you. No regrets, no mistakes, no lingering guilt, just enjoyment of one another's company. Talk with God as you would talk with a friend, about every little thing, every big thing, every idea that comes to mind. Go ahead and be boring. He delights in you. Know that when you walked into the room, the Father stood and smiled, rejoicing that He was going to have some time with you. Maybe it will help you to pour Him a cup of tea, or go for a long walk, or write Him a nice long letter. Whatever you would do with your best friend, do with God. After your encounter is done, reflect on how your relationship with Daddy, Abba, Father, has changed. Record it in your journal and share your insights with someone. May God bless you and restore you in innocence with Him this day. Amen.